This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was American singer-songwriter based in Germany, Sophia Kennedy, with Orange State Tag right here on The Pulse. I'm Hanif Baharuddin.
And my name is Daryl Ong. And our first story of this evening is going to be on live events. You know, we keep talking and talking about how the pandemic has affected musicians and stuff like that. But now we're going to turn our focus a little bit onto the guys that make it happen. The promoters, the venue owners, the sound crew, the stagehands, all that jazz. Yeah. Live events, of course, one of the first few industries to shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and I assume will be the last few to start back up again, sadly. Live Nation recently released their 2020 numbers so far, and due to the widespread cancellation of shows and gigs around the world, they reported a 95.1 drop in revenue in the third quarter of 2020. I mean, 95% of anything is a really huge portion.
95% is just a bit too much.
In August, there was a massive rally in the UK. They were called the Red Alert Campaign, where thousands marched onto the streets in support of the out-of-work music event workers, guys that make the show happen. All those including the security staff, truck drivers, and even they were marching for the venue cleaners. Mm. Artists such as New Order, Doves, Leona Lewis all voiced their support through this march. And, you know, for these guys, Hanif, they're not artists, but they are... You know, they have jobs, they work, and it's almost like everything went off with just like a light switch, right?
Yeah.
Promoters and bookers would normally have their calendars filled out for the rest of the year, almost a whole schedule laid up in front of them, and they're just wiped out just like that, which also means no income for them whatsoever.
Exactly, yeah. I think we've highlighted this enough. We've spoken about this a lot. Like, I think people sometimes forget that behind all these artists and celebrities, there are a lot of support system, and these are the biggest group
for
that
sure.
I think that are making money and relying heavily on artists and celebrities, right?
So
sometimes we think of artists and musicians, and we think that, oh, sorry, we're feeling sorry for them that they're not making money, but the people who are supporting them, these are the people that are, you know, worse off, right?
Because exactly. of this. Yeah. And you know, artists, they have, I guess, that, not to say that they have the privilege, but they're stuck in the same predicament, but they have that opportunity of doing a, you know, side hustle of home performances, you know, making new music, selling merch, etc. The support crew, in the other hand, zilch, right? Mm. Essentially, while the business of music today is looking a bit healthier, those that make live music possible are still very much suffering. And joining us on the line today, we have Juan Wan, who is the director of Jam Track Records. They are a company that hosts numerous events around the country. He's been a longtime promoter and supporter of local music. Juan, welcome to the program. First question, how's it been for, I guess, the backbone of the music industry, the venue owners, the sound crew, bookers, promoters? Is it possible to cover the loss of income in this last couple of months?
Hard to cover the loss of income. It's not the same like before. Do you know that now the government have the program of withdrawing the KWS fees, but for freelancers, they don't have that account to begin with.
Yeah.
And they need to come out with another solution, like probably doing different things altogether. Like maybe opening up food stalls or you know, selling other stuff. Things that is really out of the things that they normally do in the past years. But now most crews are doing different jobs.
Right.
And it also depends who they are working with. Mm. Some stable companies can really sustain and, you know, even like cut down budget, they still be able to pay like half salary, like half a month kind of salary and things just to stay afloat. And some really like really divert it completely.
Juan, you as the director of Jam Track Records, give us, I guess, pre-pandemic numbers. Yeah, give us the breakdown of typical labels' income. You know, what's the split with live shows, organizing live shows, and also producing and recording in-house?
Upon producing, we split 50-50 with the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I'm with the pandemic situation. I understand for the artist to survive. So I just reconstructed our contract with our artist.
Okay.
It's now 70-30. 70 goes to the bands and musicians and the artists that's done their singles and albums, which I hope might help, because our label doesn't focus on pop music, more onto like experimental kind of stuff, you know, instrumental music or blues, jazz. It's more onto niche market kind of thing.
Mm. And niche market normally equals less money, right? Unfortunately.
Yep. Mm. Less or no money to begin with.
Mm. Johan, do you see an uptick of, I guess, studio recording sessions, you know, since musicians can't go out to play live shows anymore? Do you see an uptick of it at Jamtrack since the MCO?
The thing that I hope musicians, artists, singers in the music scene, I really hope they realize that because for now there's no shows.
Yeah.
So they have more time, just craft their own compositions, do their own songs now, record it, you know, produce as much original music as they can to prepare themselves. Once it's lifted, you have something to on the table, or probably take it outside of Asia. Yeah, I would give that advice to them.
Mm. Use the time at home wisely.
Yeah,
make more music
and just gain as much royalties as they can yearly.
For sure.
Mm.
Other than teaching aspiring artists the lay of the land in the music industry, what has been Jamtrack's other contingency plans to stay afloat? You know, one thing that's really big today globally is pay-per-view online concerts. Juan, you have organized multiple events, live concerts in Malaysia. Do you think something like this, a pay-per-view concert, would work in Malaysia?
I think it would. It's just that, currently I'm working with Singapore bands. Like, people who are interested to do this or to join venture with us are bands outside of Malaysia.
Mm.
So willingness to take a risk. Because there is no certain budget that I could agree or promise them. I can't be telling them like, okay, this is the amount that you'll be getting paid.
Mm.
No, it's also based on how many tickets we have sold.
Yeah.
And previously, the second one is coming this 14th November. So the previous one, we did with Cystic Tickets, we managed to sell around 400 tickets. And the price is $20 per ticket. Even if it's split up, it is still manageable, I think, as an income for everyone involved. At the same time, to refresh ourselves, to have something to do at least.
Mm.
When I was doing the physical event, it's not the same at all digitally.
Right.
Your marketing strategy is different. You need, I mean, it's okay for you to sponsor ads. It's just that you have a certain type of people that you're targeting to sell the tickets. And that is the most important thing, to narrow down who you're targeting to.
Was that a tough feat for you to kind of adjust your mentality and your game plan all in a blink of an eye?
To be honest, it is. It's very different. It's like a trial and error kind of thing. It's either you hit it right or you miss and try again. But if we do it all together and have different ideas coming in and knowing what works and what doesn't, that would be a better, solid strategy to begin with.
Talking a little bit about emergency funding, right, or funding in general, the government just announced the budget. Mm. What are your thoughts on the petition for the arts?
Brian Gomez from Merdeka Ria,
mm-hmm.
and myself started the it's in change.org. We started a petition to waive the entertainment licenses and the taxes for 2021. Because to be honest, we need more venues. We need more support in general to just stay afloat and to just sustain in the industry. And I think that since the clubs, pubs, or whatever venues that is currently available now, they have already paid for 2020.
Yeah.
We are not asking it to be waived forever, just for 2021, just to minimize the damage that is caused and also to bring up our music values up. And since Made Karya and Brian Gomez have been supporting a lot of local musicians.
Yeah.
You could go to their website and see that they've been supporting more than 70 acts. There is like videos with the bands performing a few songs each. Yeah, I think that if that could happen, it would be great for the industry altogether. About the emergency funding, I hope it could reach out more. I mean, having that kind of budget is one thing, but how do they reach out? I think there are so many good talents around Malaysia, including Sabah and Sarawak. But reaching out for them to apply, they might not even know about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the government, I mean, the budget needs to be able to help as many musicians, talents, whatever.
Got you.
As much as they can.
Last few questions, Juan. Physical distancing has been the theme of 2020, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of that word, but for the music industry, it's an idea that's so foreign, you know, in regards to live shows and live concerts. Physical distancing doesn't seem like a viable thing, to me at least. What do you foresee the new normal to be for the live music industry?
Okay, to be honest, it's very uncertain for me. It's an uncertain thing. We don't know when the vaccine is going to come out. We don't know how many more months that we have to wait. But I would say be open to new ideas. And also, I would say the thing that we could do now is to go digital. Just to give an example, like Bay Beat Festival in Singapore, like the last weekend, it used to be a physical festival, you know, in Singapore. And they finally decided to just go online and still carry on with that. And that doesn't happen with any of the festivals in Malaysia. My personal experience approaching sponsors, and they are really not keen on doing things online.
Yeah.
I've approached them since March. Till like May or June, and I got turned down. So I would say if sponsors are willing to host this online event, you know, we need more platforms, more grants from the government. And to be honest, I think it would be great if tourism could step in and help as well. Because all this while, like most of these festivals that is happening throughout Malaysia, like if you know, Rainforest Music Festival has been like it's good in terms of sales for tourism for so many years.
Yeah,
and I think it's about time for everyone to chip in and help back the music industry.
Director and co-founder of Jam Track Records, Chuan Wan, giving us his thoughts on the budget for the arts and also the feel on the ground for live music workers. If you'd like to revisit that interview, the podcast will be up real soon, www.bfm.my/pulse. Right, up next, we're going to be talking about bands making a comeback due to recent news of a very old band, and the band I thought had retired for good. System of a Down is back, ladies and gentlemen. And Hanif will tell us all about it pretty soon. But first up, here's some music from Texan trio Krong Bin doing a classic cool in the gang staple. This is Krong Bin and Summer Madness. This is The Pulse, only here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.